Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks. Karen Kilgariff, do not panic. Karen is healthy. She's just in another city. I am in Missoula, Montana.
I'd like to meet this girl.
I know you would.
I think she's marvelous.
She's the best. That's my father. His name is
Chris Fairbanks Sr.
Chris Fairbanks Sr. Early on, someone named him James. It would have been more convenient to name you Chris Fairbanks Sr., but someone would have to have the foresight.
Longest name of the baby book, Christopher. Did you know that?
Well, that makes sense because it gets cut off. A lot of teachers thought my name was Christoph.
Christoph, yeah.
Just T-O-P-H-E. And then, you know, inevitably I would have to
do an accent
all year and pretend to be from another land.
Multi-syllable names run the risk of being shortened, and that's something you think about when you name a kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't want you to be Chris. I wanted you to be Christopher.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, but I go by Chris now. My driver's license and my credit card say Christopher, but Chris is just easier. And
fine.
I didn't mean to slight you.
Fine.
I sometimes, if I want someone to really take me seriously, I go, well, you know that when I moved to Los Angeles, a guy named Christopher Fairbanks came to one of my shows at M-Bar, and he said, hey, we have a problem. I think. We have the same name. I do stand-up and act, and you do stand-up and act. And I said, well, you go by Christopher? I pretty much go by Chris. Problem solved. Plus, we look a lot different. So.
Older guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. We keep in touch.
Is it,
he likes me.
Is he a Fairbank?
He's a Fairbanks.
With an S?
Christopher Fairbank is an English actor that is in a number of things. He's in, he was in the Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in, I think, he's in a lot of stuff. English.
Well, nobody's going to give a rat's ass about this, but we were Fairbank when I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah. And the whole family was Fairbank, and for some reason we leave Minnesota. And I said, hey, you know, we're on the highway, and how would you like to have a different last name?
Really? It was during your life that my
name
was changed.
Exactly right. So my birth certificate, I think, says Fairbank.
That's amazing to me.
Yes, that sounds...
Because there's Fairbanks everywhere.
I know.
By being Fairbank, does that make us more English?
Yeah, if there's more than one of you, you're Fairbanks.
And what are it. And you know I don't care where my ancestors first made love and babies, but I am Scotch-Irish. What is that? Is it Scotch-Irish?
Right. Scotch-Irish, my understanding is Irish people who came before the potato famine to the United States wanted to distinguish themselves from the Irish that came over after the potato famine or during the potato famine in Ireland, right around 1840 and 50.
Okay.
And so they call themselves Scotch-Irish.
Which is not... We are not... We are not Irish and we are not Scottish.
Exactly. That's what I said. Make up your mind. What do you mean we're Scotch-Irish? Two different places.
Yeah. During this, growing up, you were always so tan and with a dark curly head of hair and a mustache. I was convinced you were Mexican.
Yeah.
My whole life. I thought you were Latino in some way.
Yeah.
And I still maybe think that. But we're English people.
English people. And the dark skin is Swiss. My other side of the family is Swiss.
God, we got around.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're
about to leave. You were just picked up by me.
I was just picked up by my father. I'm in Missoula. I'm heading back to Los Angeles. Karen was going to pick me up. We were going to record a podcast when I got home. And Allegiant Airlines, which I'm a fan of. I mean, they're a direct flight. It's oftentimes half the price of other airlines. But the last three times I've flown with Allegiant, they just say, hey, plane's not coming. And people always go.
That's their motto.
Yeah. Our plane may or may not be coming.
How soon can you get here?
Allegiant. They never have an excuse. And I don't make them have an excuse. Everyone else in line says, that's ridiculous. It's not that ridiculous. It's an airplane. Things happen. It didn't show up. I just said, oh, okay. So I'm flying out at midnight now. And so my dad and I are driving. Where are we? Frenchtown? Is this kind of not quite?
We are going out Mullen Road. Mullen was a surveyor, a captain in the U.S. Army, and he surveyed all of this to Seattle, I think.
This road
is the main road from Chicago to Seattle.
Really?
Or I'm making that shit up.
We are not. Yeah. No, I made up a bunch of stuff last episode.
And we just passed what used to be Missoula. That convenience store is where the original Hellgate was. Missoula used to be called Hellgate. But it was tough to get mail order brides to come to Hellgate. Imagine that.
Really?
Right here. Right up here.
Okay. That's where.
That was the original site of Hellgate or Missoula.
Like, the city hall may as well have been there.
Exactly.
And mail order brides came here because the working man, the miner, the gold panner, didn't have time to go out and date.
Imagine how desperate you'd have to be to come out here.
People make jokes about farmersonly.com, which is a dating site for only farmers.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, farmersonly.com. It's where farmers meet. But it's that kind of thing. Where else are you going to meet someone if you're in settling Missoula? Hellgate.
Like every other dating service, 90% men, right?
Yeah. So that site is credited with starting homosexuality as a result. It's just a numbers game. You have no choice sometimes. And, thanks for picking me up, Dad.
Yeah, you had a pretty good week, really. We went to see you.
Went to Spokane.
Havre?
We went to Havre. I had my 40th. A lot of people don't know I'm 40 because I use a lot of lotion, but I am 40 years old. All of my friends collectively turned 40 around this time or around this year. So we went up in the woods in Havre and stayed in cabins, and they were haunted. I guarantee you they were. I can tell when there's a presence, and I don't know what to do with that, but lights were turning off and on, and that's enough for me. And maybe it's an electrical issue, but...
It could have been just a bad electrician.
Yeah, but it seemed like they would turn on...
Aluminum Romex.
Maybe. Maybe it was that. You know, I don't want to, make you feel bad, but the wiring you did in the house on Van Buren, I went there at a party in college, and there was a basement fire right by one of the light fixtures. I don't know if I told you this.
You did tell me, yeah. And you rubbed that in once before.
Okay.
and you know, electricity is pretty simple. It's wires and Romex, and you... I'm not disputing the fact that a fixture I put up may have gone south.
It burst into flame. Oh, you think it was the fixture,
absolutely.
The integrity.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, Okay. Running a pair of wires? I don't know.
What if they...
Unless you're suggesting you put a nail through one of the...
Well, sometimes use that black electrical
tape.
And
2 years later, it started on fire.
Maybe the electrical tape keeping two sides...
You know, I have
over
feelings.
Over time?
I have feelings.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just saying there was a fire.
There was.
And thank God we had moved out years prior.
Right.
It was Lisa's room.
That was your sister's room. That's right.
And Lisa, we went. I went to visit my sister in Spokane. You came with. We went. We went to a funeral of her friend. It was very sad.
We were there 3 days, and three events occurred.
Yeah, we
that were curious but fun.
Yeah, we went. Lisa said, "Oh, it's this amazing race challenge thing. My friend's birthday." Have you seen the show Amazing Race? You and I, of course, have not watched.
Never miss an episode.
Yeah, we are glued to it. We have the VCR set, the video cassette recorder machine set to record it. I've seen it a couple times, and I know that there are challenges. You get to a place, there you open another envelope. It gives you a clue as to the next place. But they
Is
did.
Caitlyn Jenner in that?
I think at one point they've had.
Famous people?
Yeah, they've had... I bet they've had celebrity. I'm not sure. I think usually it's just bickering couples. They like...
Oh, yeah, okay.
We're about to get a divorce.
They're teams. And we were a team. We had to pick a color.
We don't get along. We're both into CrossFit and running. Let's work it out on television and see if we should stay married. That's kind of what the show is about.
Wow.
And some people get together and it's usually... It's usually won by a couple friends, like older friends or something. It's kind of fun to watch. I'll admit now that I have watched it and I've enjoyed it. But yeah, we had to find a statue in Riverfront Park, the original site of what World's Fair, 1960 something?
70s, I think.
Okay.
I was confused about that as well.
Yeah.
I have to interrupt you to tell you that many of these roads here have significance in that they're named after founding people.
Oh, really?
And the one we just passed, Deschamps Lane, Deschamps, French, don't
okay.
you know?
Sure, Deschamps.
And I'm building, and you'll see a couple others,
oh.
and I'm building to a climactic...
Cavern.
Yeah.
Who's this cavern person?
I'm not sure about that.
That's the first person to discover a deep crevasse in a cave.
That could be.
They later named that cavern. And Johnny Stalactite actually named this next road.
Look at this place.
Up.
This is an old hotel.
Oh, I remember.
Really old.
This is spooky, as is that.
I mean,
that...
this is a way station or something.
Okay.
And
then...
Keep out signs everywhere.
And then a left turn there is where I shot the first version of Primal Urges.
Oh, my gosh.
A extension cord was submerged in the river. I scared the whole time. And it was all for nothing because he opened the film, exposed it to light, and months of my life were for nothing.
I recall.
Yeah, well, it's
Isn't
okay.
Isn't that when I had to paint 4 paintings of yours?
Yeah. I lied. You helped me lie. You had my back, even though you're an honest person. I repurposed some of my dad's paintings. I believe I painted over your signature on one of them. Turned it in. And
No, I painted 4 paintings.
Did
4
you?
4 feet by 4 feet, because they had to be that size. Don't you remember? That was your end grade, rested on having 4 paintings. And because they were so specifically large and odd-shaped, 4 by 4.
What is this guy doing? There's
a
guy in the road. Oh, just carrying produce.
I guess.
The lead singer of Midnight Oil. You won't know that reference. I didn't get a good grade in that class, and I wanted to argue for a better grade, but I knew that it was because I was busy shooting a film.
Well.
You know. Anyway, that's where I shot it.
It had nothing to do with those 4 marvelous paintings I kicked out for you.
I remember liking them. I don't... Where are they now?
Firewood? I don't know.
Oh, well, during wintertime, you gotta keep warm.
Yeah.
So one of the events for my sister's friend's birthday was to go on this thing. We had to, we ran around. It was really fun. Went on a gondola,
one of the things was, the last thing was, on the gondola, you look high, look low,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you will see.
And I saw the
final destination, where we all end up, right?
And once I was off that gondola, I was going to run down there, and I think we could have won. But then you, because
my granddaughter said, I've never been on the gondola, Grandpa.
We had to arrive in a group, and my entire family got on a car, 10 cars
behind.
We're
going on the gondola.
And not remembering that this is a race against time.
Yeah.
And so we got dead last. We got dead last because
some fun and family. Girl.
Just making fun of us.
Yeah, you people are last.
You're dead last.
What's wrong with you?
How do you even know the phrase dead last? I'm about to make fun of how thick your glasses are. I almost did. It's easy to hurt a little girl's feelings.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you one more time. And what is the name of that road right there?
Holy shit, we're on Fairbanks Lane.
See?
So,
founding people.
Why doesn't it say Fairbank?
Well, because they changed their name when they came out here, too.
They all made the same decision on the drive
over. We're going west. We need an extra S.
Everyone had the same conversation.
That's right.
Sometimes I find holes in your stories. I believe most of them, but the time
most of the people are dead.
How am I going to fact check? You told me Albert Broccoli, his family invented broccoli.
He did.
But
they spelled it different.
They did spell it different, which is the...
He takes credit for it. He has always taken credit for it, and people... Albert Broccoli and his, who's dead now, but always took credit for inventing broccoli. The Broccoli family owns the Bond franchise, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Somehow.
Written by Ian Fleming, but...
Books, yeah. But,
okay.
But his kids still produce the movies.
Were right in that. Broccoli is only as old as the early 50s or something.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, it's cauliflower crossed.
It's a crazy hybrid.
It's a hybrid crazy vegetable. Hybrid. It's new, and if you have a paleo diet, get off that broccoli because it is made in a laboratory. I found something on Wikipedia that said it was manufactured by farmers, but it didn't. But I could have done more research. I'm sorry. I don't mean to...
He claimed it. I heard that he claimed it.
Wow. Well, I mean, as if... Okay, and so now we're coming up on Stone Container, is that...
Yeah, this former industrial site that made liner board, which put together... we're losing people now, I can tell you that.
No, it's interesting.
Liner board is the outside paper on a cardboard box.
Like corrugated...
The corrugated stuff comes from Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah, right. But look how much
all these
gone.
Buildings.
Look at all these buildings are gone. These were immense buildings.
Wow.
And they had huge recovery boilers, or boilers and recovery boilers on them.
And this is
massive.
All empty. These are giant buildings.
Torn down.
Industrial buildings. Was that a stop sign?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay, good. You made that noise, and then I got nervous.
And there was a stop sign.
One time, we were on a road trip going through the desert. We were hauling a boat. Grandma was in the front seat, not having fun. I think maybe drifting off. And then she inadvertently put her elbow on the window, the electronic window button. And it started to roll down. This hot desert wind blew into the car, startled her. She screamed. You reacted by jerking.
Maybe I can throw the boat off the trailer, which I did.
He jerked the wheel. The boat flew off the trailer, collapsed the fender.
Started riding on the fender. Yeah.
Oh, God. And did it flatten the tire? Oh, God. That's out of Vacation.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's total Chevy Chase material.
And then what happened after that? I recall Native American man.
It actually wasn't the desert. It was about 50 miles from here going to see our Flathead Lake.
Really? Yeah. Why did I make it the desert?
Well, I don't know. I never had a boat near a desert. Okay. But
that would explain
that's
why
what happened, and the boat came off, and a guy, a Native American guy and his very pregnant wife, stopped and made it their day's mission to get that boat back on the trail.
He went and got a jack, drove 30
miles.
But
she was out there with a leverage bar trying, oh, please don't do that. I don't want to deliver a baby here.
That was a scene in a movie, too. Didn't someone pull over? She's real strong, even though she was...
Oh, yes. What the, how? Trains, planes, and automobiles.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the guy that was going...
That's the one.
And that we basically met that guy, except he was a sweet person.
Right.
Oh, wow. See,
and I said, I got to give you some money. Oh, no, 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 I insist. Of course, I didn't have any money. I said, how about I write you a check? And he said, well, okay, you can write me a check. Make it out to Bob somebody. I kind of owe him something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. He used that money to pay a debt.
Yeah.
Where is that guy now? He's the most honest, sweet person ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got a boat back on the trailer.
Whose cows are these? Well, there's hundreds of cows all of a sudden.
Those are Eddie's cows.
Eddie? Oh. Eddie Stalactite?
I don't know. Whose cows are those?
I don't know. That's just, I don't recall there being 100 cows in a field. But I guess I'm not on Mullen Road that much. So Mullen Road...
Right, it's a big deal. This Captain Mullen did a lot of stuff. There's Mullen, Idaho.
Sure.
You heard of that?
Sure,
right?
Sure. I didn't know it was the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, keeps going, and this trail turns into something else, but he's referred to often. You've heard, you know, the Mason-Dixon line. You've heard that.
Of course,
reference.
Yes.
Well, those guys were surveyors.
I'm not pretending to know what it means.
They're surveyors.
But, yeah.
And they laid out much of the eastern United States, and that's where their name is on everything. And Mullen laid out this road.
Wow.
I guess.
And I think I have family on it. Is my uncle out here? And is Uncle Larry out here? I don't think so.
Yeah, one time he lived back there on Primrose or something.
He had horses. Everyone's amazed.
Good eating. They're good eating.
Oh, God, if you can get a good, tender young horse and just throw it on the grill, you are going to have yourself a terrific dinner.
I love horses. If you're ever around a horse,
you don't want to eat it.
You will appreciate them.
Yeah, they're the best.
They are. They're like big puppy dogs.
It's funny, though, because how many times have you ridden a horse being a Montana person?
I've had some experience, but not a lot. Enough to make me incredibly sore for several days.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Doing some, you know...
Cattle driving.
Right, right, right.
That, yeah, okay. But prior to that, like as a kid, I didn't... There's horses everywhere. People think it only makes sense that I would have grown up in western Montana riding on horses.
Well, it is kind of expensive to maintain a horse. They eat a lot.
And I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school when I say we weren't rich growing up.
Weren't we?
Were we rich? We weren't rich.
I don't think we were rich.
We were standard, middle class. Middle class people don't have horses.
I'm starting to feel bad.
I'm here to push buttons. I'm here to push the envelope. And I'm sorry if your feelings get hurt. I appreciate you doing those paintings.
Horses.
But you're horrible at wiring basement-like fixtures. And you never gave me a pony when I was little.
No. No.
I didn't want a pony.
Horses, people, you got to have 20 acres to feed a horse.
Yeah.
See all this grass?
Yeah.
They eat that in a day and a half.
Yeah.
So you have supplemental feeding. If you're on 2 or 3 or 5 acres, you got supplemental feeding going on.
And what's that mean?
That means you're buying hay.
Oh, okay.
And you're paying, see that? Hay for sale.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's for.
626-5248 if you want some hay for sale.
And what kind of horses are those?
Inquire for the...
Hobby horses.
Hobby horses? The kind that you on a spring and your little kid gets on it?
You have a hobby horse if you don't get on it to rustle cattle, right?
You've know a lot of stuff. That's a hobby horse. A hobby horse is a real horse. It's not just because of the toy horse that is on a frame and with springs.
I think, generally speaking, the activity of that's raising and maintaining a horse that you don't need
for a living would
be a hobby.
I'm going to turn up the sound here. That's a Burlington Northern train, just so people listen to that. Look at him. My grandpa drove one of those, right?
Oh, no. No way.
No way?
They wouldn't let him near one of those.
He'd be too nervous, yeah. Well, maybe he shoveled coal into it. He used to polish them, maybe. Yeah. He'd wash them. And,
they shoveled diesel on those.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Yeah, my grandpa used to run with handfuls of diesel fuel and pour it into a funnel. It was his job. Here's these cows again. Well, I didn't know that about hobby horses. I just kind of, now I'm attracted. It's everything that I took for granted growing up in Montana. You know, I just wished we would move back to California and I could have long, blonde, straight hair and become a surfer. That's my whole life.
Hey, man, I understand.
And man, now that I live there by the beach, boy, I miss it here. The grass is always greener, but it is much greener in Montana because California has a drought.
And you find people are much the same no matter where you are.
People are the same no matter time nor place. That's the Fresh Prince, Will Smith.
Yeah, well, 5 careers ago, I remember being on the phone with somebody. I worked for the railroad at the time. And I had
with
to call...
With Grandpa.
Yeah, yeah, I had to call Denver to iron something out. Mm-hmm. And the railroad had its own phone line. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if it ran on rails, but I think it ran on satellites or something.
Wow.
Anyway, so I call them, and this is something you get all the time. They say, where are you calling from? Missoula, Montana.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you even...
So you got, like, phones there, right?
So I assume you're talking into an empty can of chili.
Yeah. Right.
With a string attached.
I said, yeah, no, that's true. And quite, as a matter of fact, when I lived in San Francisco, I used to say the same thing about people from Denver. So I get it.
Yeah. You always kind of...
And she said, oh, yeah, I get it.
You turned it back on her?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to say things about you in Denver. Thank you for taking the time to spit out your chewing tobacco long enough to insult me. Now, if we can get to this business. My dad has a way of making people... You're good at business interaction. I wish that I had that. You can be...
Boy, there
friendly
is
but intimidating.
Almost nothing left of this place except...
Oh, we're back. We turned around. We're going back past Stone Container.
I'll tell you what is left. Are
what are those? Conveyor belts?
EPA Superfund sites is what's left. That's what's left when you start tearing down a factory.
And
like
what
this.
Is a Superfund site? It's just when there's poison in the dirt.
This factory was built initially on about 200 acres in 1958. 200 acres of the former Fairbanks farm.
Okay.
There you have it.
Wow. And then the soil.
And there are settling ponds out there that have all the crap from
cooking
wood chips and making paper.
What about the one in Butte that is where mining was happening, gold and copper mining? Isn't there a pond that's slowly raising is so poisonous that birds fly above it and just die and rest?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's called the Berkeley Pit, and it's a mile across and half a mile deep. It's really deep. And you're right. They just went down and down and down and looking for copper when digging straight holes in the ground became passé.
Sure.
They would take donkeys down there and feed them down there, and they never came out.
Oh, no.
Isn't that awful?
And then all these canaries get credit.
Yep.
What about the donkey in the coal mine?
Precisely.
Sing about that one.
Well, the donkey
Sting.
Fell over. Let's get out of here.
Oh, man, that's awful. And then you have no...
So they quit doing that. They quit sinking well-type mines and started just digging a big hole. And, well, they kept draining that which would seep in until they shut it down about 20 years ago or so. And now it's filling up with...
And that is the most super of Superfund sites.
Oh, yeah. Nasty liquid.
Isn't there a golf course that has Superfund site, but it's, for some reason, the
smelter in Anaconda.
The sand has
Jack Nicklaus came in and created, that's a neat golf course. Really
good. It's jet black. The sand is jet black.
It's slag, which was a byproduct of smelting copper.
So
the sand is not sand, it's slag.
When you hit it with your sand wedge and it becomes airborne, it's a slag wedge. A lot of people don't. It's a special club that you can only buy in Montana.
Yeah.
But isn't that just kicking it up and then you're breathing it in? You might as well have been a miner.
You know, it doesn't clump like sand if it rains. It's really pretty good.
Oh, wow.
And I think, as I say, Jack Nicklaus, there's Fairbanks Lane.
Oh, there's Fairbanks Lane again.
Jack Nicklaus designed that course and, it's a beauty. And there are just big, just massive chunks of concrete here and there, you know.
We should golf. You've been golfing a lot. I have not been golfing.
That's my main job.
Yeah, my dad makes
so many courses, so many inspections necessary.
Right. Makes a lucrative retirement living as a golfer. Well, maybe sometime soon. What about Fairbanks, the vice president for Roosevelt? Do you know much about him?
I don't know.
Remember I showed you that picture of a $5 bill that said Bank of Fairbanks, in Fairbanks, Alaska.
And I do know something about Teddy Roosevelt. I just don't know anything about this Fairbanks guy.
That was his vice president? And as a birthday present, I think, Roosevelt gave... I don't know if he made it, but it's a legal tender $5 bill that says Bank of Fairbanks, and they gave it to him. But it's Fairbanks, Alaska, so are we somehow related to Fairbanks, Alaska? Can I go there and say, hey, I'm here?
Will you have any street cred?
Yeah.
As a consequence of your name?
Yeah.
I think you will.
Well, let's go there.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's famously the most depressing part of our union?
Well, I wouldn't mind going to Alaska, but
certain parts.
We have mountains around here. I'm sure they're fancier.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can go to Glacier.
And you have nighttime here, which allows you to sleep. Yeah. Isn't Alaska just daytime all day?
Once you get up there, yep.
Yikes.
Especially around Fairbanks. Wow. Yeah.
I don't want to visit Fairbanks.
Talked to a guy that was a teacher up there. I played golf with him once, and he was talking about a party they were having, a New Year's Eve party years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he left the New Year's Eve party and was going home, and he'd forgotten he was going a little bit too fast over the railroad track, okay?
Okay.
Which is elevated and then comes back down. And he went up and came back down, and it was 30 below zero, I think. All four tires exploded.
Oh, wow.
That's the kind of thing that won't happen in Miami Beach.
Oh, wow. Frozen rubber.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And he was just boom, right on the ground. Well, okay.
That sounds...
At least the heater works.
Yeah, as I sit here and wait for help.
Yeah.
From nobody. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it would be beautiful.
Hey, we did get a funeral, too, this weekend.
Yeah, we did go to a funeral. I'm confronted by the fact that because this sweet girl that passed away...
Very sweet girl.
And she's kind of my age. And so I selfishly start thinking about my own mortality because it was a cancer. She had leg pain. She was tired. Leg and back pain, and she is tired. I have that. I'm tired. I have leg and back pain. And maybe I'm being ridiculous, but I'm going to a doctor when I go home. I am. My leg hurts, and I'm tired all the time. If you look up any disease, any ailment...
I got it.
Tired all the time.
That right there.
That's me. I have vaginal cancer.
Sub E. That's mine. I have that.
Ugh. But
no,
it was,
I met that girl. I haven't seen that girl in 15 years. She was a child.
I didn't know that you friend had met
of,
her.
Yeah, a friend of your sister's. And she was a sweet girl. She was tall, athletic, played basketball and track.
Yeah, they had pictures.
Just a sweet girl. And I hadn't seen her in a while.
Well, like a lot of... and this wasn't a funeral. It was a memorial. I don't know the difference, but she wasn't there. It was just a celebration of her... Which a lot of people try and do. With
Boy, they packed the Eagles Hall, I'll tell you that.
It was an Eagles Hall. It was classically in an Eagles Hall. And,
and I appreciated the open bar.
It was,
you don't often find that at a 10 a.m.
I'm afraid that I paid for four bucks a drink. There was a bar there, but it was not open. I do think I sort of closed it down. I had some drink. I'm not comfortable with death. Neither of us are. You and I both aren't religious. I feel... confronted by dying, and you know, that's definitely what this event was all about. But they tried, I thought, and there's nothing funny about, and no one that's there is gonna listen to this, Dad.
I think my experience has been, and I tell you, I have a great deal more experience being in my 70s than you have about going to funerals.
I am lucky to have hardly any friends that have died. Yeah,
so
most of my friends are healthy.
So it's typically people do try to lighten the mood.
Yeah. But the fact that the lights changed and celebrate, which every New Year's
Bad
Eve...
Bad music change choices.
celebrate.
They found the oldest person in the family
to he was
moderate.
90. And he was meandering. The celebrate, and a disco ball came on at one point. It's like, okay, well, now this, you don't want it to be comedic, but that's kind of what playing celebrate and turning on a disco ball at a funeral, it was a little, I don't know. I was just resisting, but I did.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want anything different. That was nice.
It
People
was,
showed up. I mean, that's it.
That's the most important thing. Is there was a lot
said,
of people
this
there.
Is a sweet girl, and we're here to say, damn it.
And all those people, you know, that one thing that guy did do is recognize everyone, have them raise their hands, say, "Who? God, these kids are just
running too close to the room."
Running, and I'm going to pull over and yell at them. There's nothing more sad than if you have a memorial. Of course, you'd never know, but if no one showed up, just a lawyer and some guy that hands you the rose bushes.
Well, that means you're old.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's the way it should be. There were 200 people at this sweet girl's funeral because she shouldn't be dead.
She shouldn't be, yeah. It's just, cancer's the worst, man.
You think?
I'm not getting it. Nope. There's a lot of people just wandering around in fields here. What's that guy doing? He's just by himself.
You know what he is? He's outstanding in his field.
He's one of the best we know of. He's a scarecrow. He's one of the best human scarecrows in town. I don't think anyone's worked that joke into conversation.
No.
Good job.
No, I've been holding on to it since the late 60s. I can use that again.
Yeah, I insist that you do.
I remember coming up with, this is what is weird about radio. You have to use material. You know that.
Yeah.
You try to be new, I'm sure, when you're doing your stand-up.
Yeah,
You gotta use stuff that works.
I use my jokes sometimes. Sometimes I use other people's jokes. It's just a podcast.
And radio, of course, you didn't have to have as much material when I did radio. But so I'd come up with something that was maybe pretty good. I might wait 6 months or a year and throw it out there again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I got a call one day. A guy said, "Hey, you told that story last year." Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you for being a fan. Why are you yelling at me?
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes...
Fuck you very much.
People call me out, but I for things I say on this podcast. But I appreciate it because that just proves that they're listening.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Every once in a while, I let an idea, I stand by it as if it's fact, and maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, because somebody's got a computer
in their pocket.
Computer in their hands.
Yeah. Everyone can, no matter what you say, someone can, even just the details of whatever you say,
right.
They can say, nah, that's not true. So, I'm just going to pretend I don't know anything from now on. And it won't be hard for me. Because I know a little bit, a tiny little bit, about a lot of things. And I know more than anyone about skateboarding. But no one wants to hear about it.
Did you watch the Republican debate the other night?
I didn't. I wanted to. I knew that it would be focused on Trump, who I wish ill upon. And so...
Yeah, but he's getting all the attention. They got to have him in there.
People like him because...
Otherwise, nobody's going to watch. Isn't that crazy? They all hate it. The other 16 candidates, there are 17 candidates as we speak, 16 of them hate the fact the guy's there, but he's got to be there. Otherwise, nobody's tuning in.
He's kind of good for business, yeah.
Damn right. Yeah.
He's just a mascot. But what if he accidentally wins? What do you think?
What if he accidentally says something factual?
Yeah, he's just... I can't believe the stuff he's said and he's gotten away with and no one's holding it against him.
I think if you are rich and have minions, wouldn't you like to have minions?
I mean, just for work around the house and stuff, sure.
Exactly. Well, minions are going to cover for you and nod their head whether you're right or not. He's used to that.
He said Mexican people are rapists.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's also insensitive, of course. But I'm turning. I have to pause while I'm turning.
Sure, of course. You're doing a great...
Do you do that all the time?
Karen always drives. I can't do the multitask of operating a vehicle and throwing together sentences. One thing at a time for me. You're doing great.
Yeah. I guess I'm frustrated by... I've always been interested in politics, and I'm frustrated by what I consider to be the Millionaires Club, people in Congress, and I don't know that I like anybody. And that's what they are. They're all millionaires. Nobody's going to make the right decisions that we need to have made, Social Security, about climate change, about infrastructure support, fixing bridges and stuff. Nobody wants to do these things because they may not get this job back.
There's no money in it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's kind of frustrating, and it occurs to me that we used to have really impressive people be president and be in Congress, I don't know that I can say that anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is just an old fart.
Or
musing.
Do you not think that so much is revealed now about everyone that even back in the day, had we known everything there is to know about even Kennedy, who... No one has anything bad to say
about him. I don't care who the guy is having sex with.
No,
that doesn't matter.
Sure, yeah, we all know he was banging Marilyn Monroe, and that's not even what...
Wow, I never heard that.
Yeah. I have pictures in my wallet. what if I had pictures? Next pictures. But yeah, I think you're right.
I had a friend who was a Hell's Angel. It was a motorcycle mechanic. So
hopefully not during my life. I hope you would not have me an infant.
But he was a funny guy. And one day he was working on a motorcycle. And I came over with that really old vaudeville joke.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you got any naked pictures of your wife?
Sure.
And they go, well, of course not. Want to buy some? And then everybody laughs a lot.
Yeah, they used to.
So I said to this guy, hey, you got any naked pictures? He said, sure. He went to his wallet, he said, look at this one from the rear.
She's sitting on the front of a Camaro. That's in the garden now. We plant flowers in the hood. That's great. That's great.
So, as I say, I think we used to have remarkable people. But then I'm also reminded of something I heard years ago that I like, and that was... they don't make them like they used to, and they never did.
Right.
So, yeah. Something hindsight 2020, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's just frustrating that you talk about Roosevelt, people like him, extraordinary men like Teddy Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. That, there was no money in politics then. Most people had to be rich, or they were like Lincoln, and they weren't used to ever having anything. And so, $200 a month was okay.
Right.
You know. And most were subsidized by family. And there was family money with Roosevelt, and if it weren't for that, he couldn't have had that lovely place in Oyster Bay to go to every time.
Sure, sure. You know?
And the same with Taft after him, and then Wilson after him. His friends had to get together and give him money to buy his house.
Really?
That is now a historic site in Washington, D.C. Yeah, 10 people gave him $15,000.
Well, then that's...
That must have been a nice house in
1920.
Huh?
It's inevitable, then, that at some point there'd have to be money in politics. Because it's hard. Being a president would be... you could not pay me enough to try and do that job.
No
one is going to be happy with you unanimously. I think comedy is hard. Or I don't, actually. But it's hard to, like, appeal to a whole audience. Being president would be the hardest stand-up gig.
I heard a comic say once, I don't want to be too famous. Because then people... if you get too famous, then there are a lot of people that hate you.
I want to be someone like Mike Judge, who just has made things and no one knows what he looks like.
And oh, yeah.
He's the creator of all these things. And has the lifestyle and the creative spiritual fulfillment, but no one ever bothers the guy. That would be the best. I only bring up his name because he's a friend, you know. I hang out with him.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you know, sometimes. He's Henry's friend, and I'm friends with Henry, and so.
And he's good cartoons or something.
He made Beavis and Butthead.
Buddy.
He made Silicon Valley. You've seen that show, right?
Cartoons. I'll say yes.
It's a great show. You'd love it.
It's out there on demand.
It's on.
Waiting for
people
me.
Are demanding it.
It's just there's so many shows.
I know. I can't.
You know, there's so much television.
Most of the shows you talk about, I haven't seen. There's not enough time. I've just started watching The Wire.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
I Love Lucy.
I haven't watched any I Love Lucy.
It's a killer.
So is that on Netflix or how to just order?
I'll bet you can find it someplace.
DVDs. Maybe it's here at Walmart. We're passing the Walmart. Oh, here we are on Mullen Road again. We're crossing Mullen Road.
Yeah. It just keeps...
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but as a kid, right there, there'd be piles of horse parts.
Yeah, because that was a rendering plant.
For soap? Like in Fight Club?
I'm not so sure what they used. They used to call them glue factories years ago, you know.
To the right, here's where Doug's canoe place was. We went out on a canoe. I almost drowned and died. That's a story.
Right.
Because that was horrifying.
It was horrifying.
We went all day in a canoe. Everything was fine. At the end of the day, well, let's get out. Might as well preemptively take off our life vests.
Because we're only going over there.
Yeah, it's like 10 feet to the edge of the river. And then we started floating sideways
Boat turned sideways, tip filled with water.
Well, we all pushed against it with our oars and tipped ourselves over. Like something a mouse
and
would do.
And then you disappeared. You were... 6 years old? 5 years old?
I don't remember.
Disappeared underneath the boat down the river.
Because I was holding on to the boat, but you did not know I was holding on
underneath.
To the boat.
I said right then, oh my God, I guess I'll have to have another kid.
Yeah, I was underwater, but I do. Yeah. It was. I heard you say that.
Caught up with you, caught your little face, and we're going down the river, and I'm thinking, damn, this is it?
Yeah.
Me and this little boy, this is how I go?
Yeah.
Looking at your little face, and all of a sudden my little toes start touching sand. I I submit that I drank a great deal of that river.
Well, it was...
So that's, it lowered it somewhat.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, I swallowed a lot of water, too. Did someone push on me and make me spit up water? I remember laying there, but I... Did anyone... No, I just... I guess.
I think what you said to me was, don't touch me, leave me alone. After you got out.
Well, maybe I was up. When you're a kid, you blame people for. Maybe I was blaming you. And you. Oh,
no,
you can.
You were fine.
You can head back to the house if you want.
Sure. So, like 2 months later, we're going to Victoria, BC. And we go to Port Angeles in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And to catch a boat over to this island, Vancouver Island. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
And we're on the boat, so you just had this horrible experience.
Yeah.
It's still fresh in your mind. And we're at the edge of the boat looking out of the water.
I remember
the
car
and everything. And you said, what if the boat sinks?
It was a big boat, yeah, like a ferry, yeah.
Well, then I guess we'll have to keep on top of the water, keep treading water.
Sure.
And, no, I think what I said was, you ask, what'll you do, what will happen if we go into the water? I'm screwing this up now.
That's okay. No, I don't remember.
What'll happen
this.
If we go into the water and I'll stay with you to the end? And then you said, and then you'll leave? That'll be the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll remember that.
You were kind of worried.
I don't know that I knew I was telling a joke right there. Yeah, I was scared of what... I still am not the most comfortable waterman. I'm not the best swimmer. But I'll get in a canoe right now. I'm not scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring it here.
I'll jump out of it on purpose. I've never been over here. Look at that farmhouse.
Yeah.
This is great.
Well, these were all 5 to 10 to 20 acre pieces cut up back in the 20s, and they diverted the Clark Fork River into ditches so that there would be little farms out here.
Oh, wow. These all used to be little farms.
That's why they call it Orchard Homes District. You know.
What's Spurgeon Road? Who's the Spurgeon guy?
It used to be a really large fish right on this road.
Isn't that a sturgeon?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, see, it's these tails that get blown out of proportion, and then people for years think there's a monster in Flathead Lake, when really it was just a sturgeon.
Sturgeon
or spurgeon. But people used to see it arching, its serpentine body.
Well, I was 20 feet long.
The folklore. Yeah, but why do people tell those stories? Because I would have been a better water skier if I wasn't scared every time I was behind a boat that a dragon was going to bite my feet off.
Yeah, there's that.
I don't like it. Well, now my little battery thing's blinking. We might have to wrap it up here.
Uh-oh.
Do you have any closing statements? Conclusionary?
That's not your battery, it's my heart thing!
Oh, God, I didn't know I was hooked up to your heart thing. My dad's heart is... He's got a marathon runner's heart. His heart's... going to be fine. As is mine. We have good hearts. Doctors told you, right? They hooked you up to a machine?
Right.
They said, wow, nice heart. So we've been... I'm going to head back to L.A. tomorrow. We'll be back next week, of course, with a guest and with Karen Kilgariff. But this was, I think, a great episode.
Yeah.
You notice how I'm like forcing an end to it.
You are forcing an end to it.
Well, the battery thing blinked, and it makes me nervous.
No.
I don't want it to cut out. And we've reached our obligation.
I stand by that wiring job. God damn it.
I'm sorry. Maybe someone did something to... Maybe they threw a match in the light fixture.
I may not stand close by that wiring job, but I stand by that wiring
job. Oh, my dad's a better comedian than me. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? With Jim Fairbanks and Chris Fairbanks. DYNAR! And then you push the horn. AR! There we go.